Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Mike? Yeah. He has something he wants to share with us here.
All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm not good with microphones or stages or whatnot, but I'm not that very good with microphones and stages and whatnot, but glad to be back here. Pastor Henry gave me permission to facilitate a Christ-centered 12-step recovery group. It's similar to, I don't know if anybody's heard of Celebrate Recovery or the Sober Project, but it's a Christ-centered 12-step program. If you know anybody who has some substance use addictions or whatnot, we got a support group for Monday nights. I got a flyer up there. I'm a grateful recovering addict. I got over 17 years alcohol and drug free. Thank you, brother. I started out in the Sober Project, and then I started doing volunteer chaplain work with Bridge Prison Ministry, and I've just been following the Lord, and He just continues to bless me, and Lord. And a couple of years ago, I don't know what happened, but we ended up running to the hills. I know some of you recognize me from a couple of years ago. We ran to the hills, and before COVID, I have a job as a recovery coach. You know, it's a substance abuse care coordinator job, but I just got sidetracked. But yeah, it's amazing how God is merciful and gracious. You know, I mean, you make decisions, on your own will, and you make career choices, but when you return to Him, He blesses you. He's awesome. We sold our mobile home and we went and lived in an RV for 16, a year and a half. And it's amazing. God brought us back and we were looking for a piece of property to put our little RV on and ended up getting a piece of property. I used to be, the old me. Oh my God. And I'm a first time, landowner at age like 54, and God is awesome. Yeah. And I didn't need a bank. I didn't need help from any bank. It's all the Lord, man. Monday Night Miracles. It used to be called Friday Night Miracles, but it's just a simple, we do about 20 minutes of intercessory prayer, and then we look into God's Word. And we studied recovery themes. If you know anybody, tell them we'll be here on Monday nights. I'll have a new updated flyer. I had some computer issues, but thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. It's going to be at 6:30 to 7:30 Monday nights.
Yeah, and
starting tomorrow night. Yes. Yeah, and I'm thinking I have the technology to make it hybrid. If you, I just need your phone number or email, and I can send you the link. We'll do it through Google Mail and have a little iPad there, and you can participate from home if you want. We're making that available. It's gonna be hybrid, but I'd rather see people in person. Leroy agreed to come alongside me. But there's going to be lots of people here. I know it's starting out with two or more gathered. He's with us. Amen. And thank you.
We also have a special guest from the Gideons, Chuck. Would you come up, please?
Thanks, Abe. First of all, What a wonderful church. It's very nice. You guys are so friendly and open. It's just amazing. I appreciate that. You bet. I'd like to start by giving a testimony of a kid from Colorado. His name is John, and by age 16 and 21, he was out of control. He shot a gun, the bullet went into a car, and he was arrested. John had no friends, no family, no hope. However, there in the jail cell, he saw a Gideon Bible. John had never read the Bible before. In the Bible, he learned about Jesus and his love. John prayed for the very first time in his life and was changed in an instant. He vowed to follow God and give his life to the Lord. After his release from jail, he decided to become a pastor. His life was transformed from pain and suffering to joy and service to the King.
Praise God.
Daily, John thanks God for his unrelenting love found in the jail cell as he spoke to John through his word. Isn't that cool? Matter of fact, Abe told me, showed me a little deal, or he shared with me, that he has a Bible or a testament that he was given from his grandmother a long time ago. He refers to that often. I really appreciate that. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this church and this opportunity to explain the work of the Gideons. Bless this opportunity and this church in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Gideons are business and professional men and women who stand on the authority of God, the God's word, the Bible. We are comprised of 190,414 members from 200 countries. Wow. Gideons are fellow believers and members of the church. The Gideons' purpose is to win the lost for Christ through distributing God's word to the unsaved. Our desire is to see the lost come to Christ. All honor and glory go to the Lord.
Amen.
Having a hard time here getting these apart. The Bible is God's way of revealing himself to us. As Isaiah 55:11 says concerning the word, I send it out, it always produces fruit. It will accomplish what I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. God's word changes lives. It always has, and it always will. In many places throughout the world, people may never own nor even see God's word unless it is given to them for free. One of the goals of the Gideons is to provide Bibles and testaments to as many people as we can. Gideons do this by attempting to place becoming tougher and tougher to place Bibles in every room of every motel and hotel. You know, that is hard to do nowadays. We wish to place a testament in the hand of every school-age student throughout the world, United States and through the world. In April of 2020, Arizona Gideons, handed out 573 English testaments and 117 Spanish testaments in Nogales to the high school and the middle school. That's pretty cool, yes. At the University of Arizona campuses, there were 4,000 testaments given out to students. At the Arizona State Fair, 23,500 testaments were given out. 296 testaments were given out at VBS events, 110 at the Santa Cruz County Jail, and 125 at Crossroads Mission in Nogales. Worldwide, there have been over 40 million testaments given out by the Gideons this year. The cost of a testament is $1.30, and therefore, if you give, you know, $13, you got 10 testaments. 26 will give you 20 testaments. $130 will provide 100 testaments. Every dollar that you give can change a life. And also, every dollar you give is used for Bibles and their distribution. Yeah. I'd like to thank you, Pastor Henry and John, and church for this time and opportunity to be here. As Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and alive.
Yes, it is.
Steve and I will be at the exit following the service to take any money that you'd like to give to this work. By giving this money, you're pairing with us to change people's lives, and we appreciate that. Again, I thank you for your attention and this opportunity.
Amen. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Eddie.
The word is important. And if we want to change anything in this world, it's God's word and it's God, right? Yeah. So I will encourage you today before we pray. Does anybody know why the Bereans were of more noble character in the book of Acts? Because they not only did they hear the word, but then they went back and they studied the scriptures to see what they were being told was true. So let me just encourage you to actually take some notes today. If that's not in your nature, please just try it out. There's so much you can get by knowing the word of God, by knowing scripture. There's so much power in it. And then not to mention, you know, it's God's word to us, right? And it's so much a part of our relationship with him. So please, I encourage you to take some notes if you don't normally. And all right, if you would, stand if you're able, and let's pray. Lord, I just ask that we feel your presence here today because we know you're always with us. And God, I just ask that we're free in our worship, that we give you the honor and the respect that you do. We love you so much, Lord. And God, I just ask that the word that we have shared today, we're responsive to it, that we're attentive, and Lord, that it makes a change in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what we say.
Same spirit of worship, we're going to go into taking communion this morning, the Lord's Supper. So as the elements are being passed out, I ask that you would hold on to them. You may be seated for a while. I ask that you would just hold on to them. They are two parts to them, two cups. Take them apart. I know they're hard to do. But take them apart, hold on to them, and we are going to take communion together. We value taking communion. Lord Jesus said to do that in remembrance of him. And I hope you never forget what he did on that cross. And so as we join together as a corporate church and take communion, I want to remind you that other Sundays, this is the first Sunday that we do it as a church, but other Sundays, it's always set up in the back. It's up to your families to go, you as an individual, friends, whatever it is. We always want to have communion for you. And I know that some of you take it at home. It's a wonderful thing. And so as the servants are passing the elements out, hold on to them. And while we're doing this, I just want to make one comment. We are blessed with this worship team. We are blessed with the way that God uses them to bring us as a church into his throne room because he deserves all the praise and honor. And I just want to say, we've been blessed with Steve here. The music that he writes is from the heart, from his trials and tribulations, and from the great rewards that he's gotten in his life. And I was told that this day he has a new song that we have never done, right?
Not done this before.
Never done this before. Never been there. So this is another song that goes with what we're doing at this moment, the communion. So listen to the song, hold on to your elements, and then after he's done, we will stand. Please stand with me. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he told his disciples that this was his body, which was for them. A body that was broken in so many places so that we could be whole. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup and said, this was the new covenant in his blood. The blood that he shed so that forgiveness of our sins would be there for us. What he did on that cross was every drop of blood that was on that man's body was shed for us. Please take the cup. And just take a moment. And as the song says, and as the word says, remembrance, remember. Let it be embedded in our hearts, in our minds. Thank you. You may be seated, and you can pass your little cups to the sides. That will be picked up. And before I start with my message, we've always made available this microphone for everyone here to give a word or a testimony. So before I start, is there anyone that needs to come up here and that God has been tugging at your heart to come and say something, a testimony or just a thank you, whatever it is? Okay. If not, we're done. Oh, you are coming. We got some slow guys here. That's okay. There you go.
Just want to thank everyone for praying for me. It's been an interesting year with two hip replacements, and I just had ear surgery. But they told me going into this ear surgery that I could have vertigo, that I could have come out of it with no smell. I could have paralyzed half of my face. I just want to give God the glory. Everything went well. And I'm recovering, just on eardrops now.
I knew it'd start coming up here.
I had a pretty rough weekend with friends that had their car T-boned, and they had to use the jaws of life to get her out. She's not a believer yet, but I have been talking to her about how God has to take away her 20-year-old car that she's had trouble getting parts for. And she said she was going to be buried in that car. She lived. And this morning I told her, okay, the car is gone. You're still alive. God has to take something away from you to give you something better. And she said she believed that. So we've got a step. And in that also, my sister was caught in a Hoya lift where they were taking her out of bed to put her on her pot. and the battery died at the same time I was in the hospital with this gal up in Tucson, and they said they had to take her to the hospital. And I said, well, I had to trust the paramedics for how I was going to get her home if they released her, because she can only go in a wheelchair van. And this was the weekend, and I didn't know how to do that. But God got her back from the hospital in a wheelchair van. So God has taken care of a lot of things for me this weekend, and I praise him for it.
Amen. Well, before I start, let's pray again. You can stay seated. Father God, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that you bring us together, Lord, that you stir our hearts, that you just instill a thirst, Lord, for your spirit, a thirst for your word, a thirst for just spending time with you, Lord. We love spending time with you. I ask that by the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord, my words would be coming from your heart, Lord, into the ears of everyone here this day, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Okay, so I've got some questions for you. How many like Jesus? Raise your hand if you like Jesus. Well, see, pretty good answers coming, easy answers. Okay, who wants to be like Jesus? Okay, pretty good stuff there. I figured those were the easy answers. So now here comes a little bit different question. Who does a better job of directing your life, Jesus or you?
Jesus.
See, all these easy answers. So knowing this, do you always listen and do what he... There you go. See, now it starts getting a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
So do you always listen and do what he is directing? Isn't it amazing that we can say that we want to be like him, that he, you know, we like his direction, and yet sometimes we don't go there. And so whether unintentional or even noticeable, we can get in God's way. So we ask God for something, and maybe we don't see it soon enough. And so we run ahead of him, and we're up running ahead, and we say, come on, God, catch up. Look where I'm going. Running ahead and hoping that God catches up with our direction, our plan. We want it, and we want it now. I've made the term that we are the microwave generation. You know, there's no more sticking it in the oven and wait for it to get nice and pretty. Now we just stick it in the microwave and push the button. And if we don't have it in 2 minutes, we go buy another microwave. Yeah. But we can also remain in our past.
Yeah.
Remain in our past, wallowing about dreams that never came true. Visions that maybe we thought God had given us, and it's not happening. And so all our dreams, you know, we're still waiting. And yet I would venture to say that every one of us here, if we, and I'm sure we have, we look back, he was always there. All those things that we walked through in the past that sometimes we thought, where are you, God? But now we look back and he was there. We just didn't pay attention maybe to what he was doing. Again, running ahead, maybe wanting to do it our way. And so we can get in two danger areas. We can either go ahead of God
or we can just stay so far back that we don't realize that he's always wanting us to take us farther, always wanting to go to places that are limitless, and yet we set limits. So I want to start off with going with Philippians 2:13. And this is, by the way, the also the power verse. And for those of you that don't understand, sometimes when we do the bulletins, we have a title, and then we also put a power verse. And that's kind of like the gist of what the message is about. And so this same power verse is where I want to start. And it says, and where am I? For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And so the word to kind of emphasize there is his good purpose. Yeah. Okay? Every one of us was created to do great works, but it's for the glory of God, not for our glory. Okay? And yet, we can have excuses as to why we can't. He's got a plan. He's got it all set up for us. And as I said, sometimes we wind up staying back because we didn't see it the way we thought we should see it. And so, sometimes we can let the different things in our life just keep us without moving, without advancing in that good purpose that he has for us. Let's say age. I'm too old. You know, I can't do anything now. You know, I should have done that when I was in my 20s. And you go the other way. I'm too young. Who would ever want to listen to me? So we let age be an obstacle in what God wants to do in our lives. How about education? I don't know how to speak well enough. I don't know how to read well enough. I don't know how to express myself well enough. We can go to that place and never move farther. Yet God is saying, I've got a purpose for you. What about physical? I'm too short. I'm too chunky. I don't have enough hair. If I would have let that stop me, I'd be somewhere else right now. You know, sometimes we do that. We don't think that we look good enough to represent Jesus. And yet every one of us sitting here today, you're a reflection of who he is. No matter what you look like, no matter how old you are, you're a reflection and you have a purpose. How about personality? I'm too shy. I'm too quiet. You know, I really can't come up here and get on that microphone. I've got a lot of stuff to say, but I'm just not made that way. So what do? Keep quiet. He had God say, man, have I got so much to say through you. He's got so much to say through you, and yet, no. So let's just stay where we are. How about time? I'll do it later. Yeah, I know God's been telling me that I should do so-and-so, but I don't, I'm going to wait for his right timing. You might be sitting in that chair for a long time. It's good that we wait for God's timing. but it's bad if we make it an excuse. And so whatever your excuses are, whatever those things that you look at that keep you from going and allowing God to achieve his good purpose, you might want to get together with him and find out, are you holding him back? Or are you allowing him to woo you, to take you to where he wants to go? We place limits on what God can do. We're thinking that it's because of those things that I mentioned that maybe we shouldn't be doing, you know. And I'm going to say, you know, not everybody was meant to stand here and talk. I know Pastor Henry and I say the same thing. What the heck are we doing here? But but somehow God said yes. And so regardless of where it is that God is taking you, whatever that good purpose is, thank God that we're all individuals. Thank God that we're not all speakers, or we're not all these, you know, pretty boys standing in front of the crowd. That you got to be that in order to be able to, for people to be drawn to you. You know, even Jesus is that he had nothing that was pretty about him, but people just flocked to him. There was something about that man that just drew you to his presence. It had nothing to do with looks or education or whatever it was, though he had it, but it was that spirit that he has. It was that spirit that was within him that drew people. But whatever it is that you feel God's been telling you, and you feel that, you know, he's told you that this is the time, by all means, don't allow to be one of those people that remains in the past, hoping that the right time will come, and it never happens, because the time could be now. Just remember that if we could only agree with what he sees, what does he see in you? What does he see in you that we don't agree with, that we're not even giving consideration to? And as I said a little bit ago, his good purpose is different for each one of us. We've made the statement here that we are independently dependent upon God. Every one of us should not follow the flock and say, well, they're all doing it, so I'm going to do it. You're special. You're this one person that God chose to do a one thing maybe. But if that's what you were chosen for, then he's going to make a way that his glory will come through because of that. Yeah. Whatever that may be. And so it's up to each one of us to come before God and talk to him and say, Lord, what do you have for me? Not what do you have for the guy sitting next to me, or, you know, that guy that you see doing something and you go, boy, I want to be just like him. No, you be just like who he wants you to be. Amen. So for God to fulfill his purpose in our life require us to fully submit and trust in all that he has set for us. We sang a song a little bit ago, and another one of Steve's songs that he wrote. It said, make me in your image. I think that should be, of course, all of our desire, is that we should be in the image of God. But it doesn't just happen. It takes submission, takes trust that he is going to do something wonderful in our lives. I want to go to John 5:19. And it says, Jesus gave them this answer. That's to the people there. It says, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Amen. It says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, then he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. So here is Jesus, Son of God, and he's saying, I can't do anything without my Father saying it's all right. I don't want to do anything if he is not telling me so. And so the Son of God is able to realize and acknowledge this. Where are we at? Okay. We can do nothing without Jesus. See, Jesus made the way so that we could come to the Father. Just as he came to show us the Father, and just as he was led by the Father, now we are to be led by him. And so Jesus came to this world with a mission, and that was to fulfill the good purpose that the Father had set for him. Jesus had a purpose. He didn't come here. It wasn't only to save the world. It was also, and you see a lot as you read, he came to show us the Father. He came to show us the Father's heart by the things that he did and the different ways that he would teach and speak to people. It was all to show the Father's heart, how the Father wanted to be seen all along. And yet, because of the law and so forth, there was things about God that people didn't understand about the Father. And think of this, that if we think, well, this is Jesus, you know, he could do that. This is the Son of God. Of course he can do that. But we got to remember that when he was on earth, he was a human. And you got to think, you know, he probably told by his mom, probably told by all these different people who he was and what he would do. These are words that he had to receive. These are words that he had to go to his Father and pray about. This is who I am. This is who you made me. But what's so different about us today? You know, we receive words. How many of us have been prophesied over by someone? They give you a word and you're going, well, yeah, that sounds good, you know, but are you willing to receive it? Are you willing to trust? And again, every word that's given to you, you weigh it out with the Holy Spirit. You weigh it out. But all these words that we hear today, I'm sure Jesus heard. He had to move along the lines of who his Father said he was. And so it isn't much different than it is for us today. We have to move on what the Holy Spirit is telling us we are. Amen. This is who we are. And if we just follow that and we agree with what the Holy Spirit is saying about each one of us here, then all those things that seem so easy for Jesus to do should be easy for us, right?
Yeah.
As long as we're functioning in the same spirit that Jesus did. So let's go to Philippians 2, starting with verse 1. Okay. And it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. If you want to be like Jesus, you have to like Jesus.
Amen.
You have to love Jesus. And you have to love all that he loves. He loves people. He loves his Father. He loves every one of you guys sitting here today. We just took communion a little while ago. He gave his life for you, for me. How much more love can anybody show? Love what he loves. Let's go on. This is talking about Jesus, the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, that's what I was talking about, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death to the cross. Now, we all like that stuff that we get to do because we're like Jesus, right? We get to pray over people and they will be healed. We get to speak to demonic forces and they submit. There's so many wonderful things, greater works, Jesus said. We love all that. But look what it says here. Look at some of the words that it uses here. This is Jesus, servant, humble, obedient. He demonstrated total submission and dependence upon the Father. That great man Jesus, as it says here, he had to humble himself so that his Father could work through him. It wasn't about him, even though it could be, right? It says there that being in very nature with God did not consider equality something to be used to his advantage. He could have said, hey, I'm the Son of God, you know, bow down. That's not the Jesus that was sent to this earth to save us. So if you want to be like Jesus, look at some of the things you need to do. Now, let's go on. And the question rises here. Does God reward? So then the answer is, what do you have that God hasn't given you? Everything you have, including the breath of your life, is only because God gave it to you. Amen. And he can take it from you also. So let's go on with verse 9. It says, therefore, you always like those therefores. After it says all the things that he did, how Jesus got to be who he was, it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Wow. There's reward. He didn't do it to get the reward. He did it because that's what was in his heart. That's who he was. It's what he gave up that eventually got him to that place that he was exalted. And whatever, as you begin to give up those things that are holding you back, you'll see God exalting you. You'll see those rewards, those blessings coming because you're walking in his will. When our prayers and our desires align with his will, boy, watch your life just flourish. And that's what he wants to do with all of us. He wants all of us to flourish. He's got a good purpose for each one of us. There's a good purpose. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. You're familiar with this one. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's all about Jesus, right?
Yep.
And if we are agreeing with this and we were crucified with him, it means we're dead, right?
Yep. Dead to ourselves.
And dead people can't talk.
Nope. There you go. God wants a zombie.
Yeah. Try going to the Green Valley Cemetery and see if anybody will answer you there. And that's what this is about. When you finally come to that place that you realize that it's him living through us and we can lay down those things that are not of him, only then with that good purpose be able to be fulfilled. Only then can we go forward and stop hanging out in the past. He has a future that, as I said earlier, that is limitless if we allow him to take us there. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:19. Okay. Guess I could read from the board, but a little more comfortable this way. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10 is what I said, right? Okay. And this is says, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. This is Saul. Saul writing this. Once one of the church's worst enemies, educated, powerful, and had great status. Great status with all the people around him. He was honored. But when he was met with the very presence of Jesus, amazing changes took place. And he even changed his name to Paul.
Yep.
Kind of going into the witness protection or something like that. But, but everything about him changed. This is a man that, as he said, he persecuted the church, and yet when he faced Jesus, everything about him began to change. And verse 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay? Once he realized that it wasn't about him, once he realized there was the grace of God that made him who he was, he could become, that person that he was created to be, not who he made himself to be. He made himself to be this persecutor or whatever it was that he was when he was Saul. But now that God made this new man out of him, even by the change of his name, he was able to do the things that God wanted him to do. So grace, as it says here, is just another name for Jesus. Without the work of his Holy Spirit in us, we can do nothing. And Paul is just a good example of giving up all he had become to become all he was created to be. We need to start laying down those things that are so important to us that the priorities take God a little farther down the scale. He's up here. Yep. What's priorities? God, family, yep, which includes friends, yep, and then your ministry. Believe it or not, that's third in line. And yet sometimes we wind up taking ministry and putting it even above God because we look good. We're doing stuff that looks pretty good to everybody, so it's for our glory, right? Not for his. Ministry begins in your home. Take care of your wife, your husband, take care of your kids, take care of those people that are so dear to you. And as God sees you minister in those areas and he blesses you, then he'll give you the ministry that maybe the church needs. So, all, like I said, and everybody's different. And everybody's different. Can remember that. Independently depended on God. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. Says, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. This is Paul, no more Saul. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Yeah. There's another Paul story, right? Yep. It's hard to imagine him trembling. It just doesn't seem like the kind of person that would be afraid to tremble or to speak or to depend on the talents that he had. He already had everything he needed to be able to speak to crowds. He had been doing that for a while. But it's very different when our dependence is on the power of the Holy Spirit. No longer you that needs to shine. It's him that needs to shine through you. And it's so good to see someone like Paul when he had finally got knocked off his horse that he was able he was able to allow and understand that without that power of the Holy Spirit, he was nothing. Yeah. You know, he was nothing. And there are those that can stand behind a pulpit with flattering words and great theatrics, you know. You see that sometimes, churches that are doing these things, but with no demonstration of the Spirit. They look good. They got the numbers, but no demonstration of the Spirit. I hope you understand and you know that this church is a church that if we don't have a demonstration of the Spirit, we might as well close those doors.
Yeah.
We're different. But if the Holy Spirit's not moving, we don't want to be here. So we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit to move in this place.
Amen.
Open your hearts. Not just when you come in on Sunday morning. Don't come in to receive Him. Come in to bring Him.
Amen. Amen.
Walk out there with His presence. Show people who you are because of Him. From the moment that you walk through those doors, you bring in the very presence of the Holy Spirit into this place. And when we join together, He just has a blast hanging out with us.
Yep.
He wasn't here just waiting for us. He came with you. We've been hearing much about submission, dependence, obedience, and humility. Things that may not be easily embraced. They're not meant to demean your identity. They are meant to make it stronger. Make it stronger where it matters in the eyes of God. It's not about convincing ourselves that we are worthless, but recognizing the value of God's work in us, acknowledging His grace in the development of our abilities. When we have something to give, we have reason to live. Let's go to Matthew 18, starting with 1. Matthew 18, 1 through 5. It says, at this time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called the little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, there you go again. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such child in my name welcomes me. So here's the difference in this scripture here. The disciples are arguing about menial stuff. who's going to be greater in heaven? Really, who cares? You know? And so it's stuff that is really, you know, nothing to really be concerned about. So this would be called being childish. You're just, eh, if I'm not the greatest, I'm going to throw a tantrum. You know, there are silly things, and here's a bunch of adults that had hung out with Jesus, and they're concerned about something like that. And then he says, talks about the little children. Jesus says he wants us to become childlike. A difference, being childish and childlike. So what would that mean? Think of a child. A child is truly dependent. He's trusting. Easily led with simple faith. Think about it. Once upon a time, you believed in Santa Claus. Believed in the Easter Bunny. Probably some of you guys still do, but I'm sorry, Henry. I didn't mean to. Didn't mean to break your bubble there. And it's whatever our status is. You think about it. If you're a pastor, you're a doctor, whatever, you think about what does a child do? You know, whenever they're small, what does a child do? They don't come and say, I got a problem, Pastor Henry. I got a problem, Pastor John. No, it's Daddy, I have a problem. That is the childlike way to approach. He's our daddy. He's our Abba. It's things that we make difficult. He is the creator of the universe. And yet, we can come to him with any problem we have and just get on his lap and say, I don't need anything. I just need to be comforted. I just need to lay my head down on your breast. Just hear the beat of your heart and I'll be okay. That's childlike. We need to stop making it difficult. We need to stop thinking that if we haven't fasted for 3 days, if we haven't read the Bible every day for 1 hour at the same time, if we miss church, oh boy, babe, I can't go to God now. I miss church Sunday. Those things are important, but they don't get you to the Father. They don't get you to that place that if all you need is that to hear the beat of his heart. Those are good things. Don't take me wrong. But what we need is that intimacy that comes from just knowing that he's there, always willing to listen to you, always willing to comfort you, always willing to show you, guide you, take you to that place that he has prepared for you, that special purpose, his purpose. So I have one more scripture and we'll end with this. Proverbs. Proverbs 3, start at 1 through 10. And it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. All those things that he has told us to do, whether it's through this book or when he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit, they're meant for our good. He's a good God. Not about trying to show you up, or he's a good God. and all that he does and all where he leads you, it says it brings you peace and prosperity. Isn't that nice when all things are going well? Peace is upon you. You have all you need. It's nice to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I know you got it. Yep. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know that everything that I've been talking about, it all boils down to love. And what does the word say? God is love. No matter how you go around in circles, it always goes right back to God. And he's love. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. You know, where sometimes we think that as long as we're doing things that God's happy with and we're walking in his path, that it's good enough. But, you know, he wants us to look to be good in the sight of man. It said that when Jesus grew up, that he showed that he had favor in the sight of God and man. We are here to represent who Jesus is. So when people see you, when people watch what you're doing, when people hear what comes out of your mouth, just remember, you're dead. Yeah. And so therefore, would Jesus be saying those things that you're saying? Would he be as downtrodden as you're feeling for that moment? Would he be wanting to look better than that guy sitting next to you? Think about that. If we're giving up of ourselves and it's Jesus living through us, what are those things that we are allowing? Are we fooling ourselves that we are giving everything over to God and yet here we are, you know? Well, so, church is over, now I can go and, you know, whatever. Every day, every minute, we are the words, the face, the presence of Jesus, we are. When people see us, I hope they don't see John. I hope they see Jesus in me. I hope that's for you too. Okay. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Think you can figure it out? Forget it. You'll never figure it out, but he can figure it out for you. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. This is the parts that, like I say, sometimes we have problems with. Submitting is not something that we as humans like to do. You know, we don't like to be told what to do. And yet, that's what he says. Give it up. I'll take care of it. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Got a bunch of wise guys over here? Okay, I thought so. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Think about just that. You know, we all want to be healthy. We want good things to our body. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. You know, that's something that, you know, we don't even really touch on here a lot, you know. We just want you guys to give as your heart says. But when you honor God, whether it's in monies, your time, your smile, your hug, whatever it is, however you honor God, give the first parts of your heart. It's not just about money when it says your first fruits. It's about the best that you have. Give it out. And then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. Now we'll stop there. There's so much more in that proverb there. But to take all this and to know that if you give up what you have, you're going to get a lot more in return. And it's not so that you can get so much in return. You just will. You're going to flow in those things that God had intended for you all along. And so with that, I will close.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Abe to come and give the closing prayer, if you would.
You know, I like that, what you said about submission, obedience, and repentance. Not about demeaning ourselves in our identity. But, you know, where it's something that's kind of revealing our identity. Because, you know, we might have taught ourselves some kind of messed up things about how we should, you know, act in this world or treat one another. So I think it's really good to see it from that perspective, that God is just helping us become the person he's created us to be. So if you would, bow your heads with me. Say, Lord, I just ask that you remove the excuses from our life to be who you want us to be, Lord. God, I just ask that you give us a thirst, a hunger for a relationship with you, but also to know you and your plan for us better. Let us be those people that will glorify your name and bring honor to it at all times. And God, I just ask that if anybody's missing anything right now, anything in their life, Lord, that you help them with that, whether it be peace or joy, that what they're searching for, they'll find it in you when they seek you with all their heart. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit and being with us at all times, being our advisor, our counselor. Help us to hear the Holy Spirit. Help us to hear him so clearly that there's no mistake in what he's telling us and revealing to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.